This is the second night looking at the crowns of Jesus. The crowns of Jesus. And while you're turning there, our main verse for this study verses is Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. In this study, we're looking at the crowns that Jesus wore or the crowns that he wears. From the beginning, the crown has been a symbol of rule. The message has always been that the wearer of the crown is sovereign or supreme ruler. We just sang about it. The kings will surrender their crowns, letting us know that Jesus Christ is the supreme ruler. He is sovereign. When a ruler conquered other countries, he would sometimes signify his rule, his multiple kingdom rule, by adding several bands of cloth around his turban or around his crown. Showed that he was the ruler over many countries, not just one country, but the ruler over many, that he had conquered others. And when the Bible declares that Jesus wears many crowns, it is declaring that he is the sovereign king, or that he is the supreme ruler over all the kingdoms of the earth. And last time we looked at the crown of thorns. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 9 tells us, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns upon his head and a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Why did they put that crown of thorns on his head? Was it because they wanted to be cruel? Was it because they wanted to inflict pain? Was it because they wanted to see the blood run off his foreheads? Why was thorns used? I think that without the soldiers even ever realizing it, the crown of thorns were given because of sin. Thorns were given in the Garden of Eden because of sin. There was no thorns before that, but when Adam sinned, part of the curse was that there would be thorns, and Jesus wearing the crown of thorns showed that he was the victor over sin. He is the victor. He is the supreme ruler over sin. And tonight we want to look at another crown. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we're going to look at the crown of victory. The crown of victory. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight. It's more of a Bible study than it is a sermon. The subject here I want you to notice is death. Jesus was to taste death, or was to suffer death, and taste death for every man. As Jesus went to the cross and he died there, Satan thought he had finally won the victory. The religious leaders, the chief priests, they had accomplished what they wanted to do. They had gotten the people to join their side and to shout, Crucify him! They thought they had won. As those nails and those spikes went into the hands and feet of Jesus, they thought that they had finally defeated him. You know, it must have been puzzling to them, though, that he never fought. He didn't try to resist it. He didn't call on down any heavenly host to come to his aid, help him. He just simply let them do to him what they wanted to do. How incredible those words must have been from the cross that he uttered, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As Jesus was being nailed to the cross, the devil and the demons of hell, I imagine that they were clapping. I imagine that they were excited. We got him. We finally got him. We did him in. The crowd had been shouting, Crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. And they crucified him. They thought that they did away with him. And then he died. He hung dead there. They took his limp body down from the cross and they put him in a grave, a borrowed tomb. You know the story. They moved the stone, the heavy stone in front of the entrance to the tomb. They sealed it. They put guards in front of it. They did everything that they could possibly think of to make sure that the disciples of Jesus would not come and steal his body. We won, they said. We won, they must have shouted. But the story didn't end there. The law at that time stated that a person had to be dead 3 days in order to be declared legally dead. Amazing, Jesus knew that. He stayed in that grave for 3 days. He was dead. He was declared legally dead. I'd like to read from you from Matthew's account, first of all. Chapter 28, verses 1 through 7 tells us what happened next. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. What great news that must have been. The angel said he is not here. Why? Because he has risen. Come and see was the message. Come and see that the Lord is not here. Come and see that he is risen. And then go and tell his disciples. Do you know that that is the message for us today? Come and see and go and tell. Come and see, come into a place and know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that he is Savior and that he is Lord, and then go and tell that message. Go and proclaim it everywhere to everyone who will listen. Jesus Christ is no longer dead. He's alive. He is risen. The devil's crowd thought that they had got him. They thought they had him. They thought they rid themselves of him. But he had risen. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as I said unto you. And they went out quickly. I guess I would have done the same thing. If I'd have seen what they saw, I would have got out of there quickly too. But you notice the message there? Come and see, go and tell, and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was dead. Yes, he was buried, but he's not dead now. He is alive. He's risen, just like he said. Come and see, go and tell. That's the message you and I have today. Come and see, go and tell. Now, was that grave open so that Jesus could come out? I got to thinking about that. I don't think the grave was open so that Jesus could get out. The grave was opened so that we could get in. The grave was open so that the women could go in and see that he was not there, to see that he was alive. There wasn't a stone big enough in the world that was going to keep Jesus in there. It wasn't moved so that he could get out. It was moved so that we might see and know that he is alive and that he has conquered death. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Come and see. Go and tell. Luke 24, 1 through 5. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? You see that? Here's these ladies. Ladies, why are you here? Why are you walking in this cemetery? Don't you know this cemetery is a place for dead people? The person that you are looking for is no longer dead. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. He's not here. He is risen as he said he would. You see, Jesus got the victory over death. He conquered death, and he wears the crown of the victor because he is the only one who has ever been able to conquer death. And you know what? He offers us now life eternal. We pass from death to life. Look what is said next in verse 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. Oh, yeah, he did say that. That's what he said. We remember now. We remember how he told us he would be given over to sinful men. We remember when he talked about how he would be mocked. He told us that he would be crucified, but he also told us he would rise on the third day. Why are we here? Why are we seeking the living among the dead? This is not the place where living people live. One more account, John chapter 20. This is a rather long one. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. See, in her mind's eye, he's still dead. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, past tense, no longer there, had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'm trying to tell you the story again, the story most precious. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all report the same thing in this story. Jesus died, he was buried, he was dead for 3 days, but praise God, on the third day he rose again. And the grave is emptied, and Jesus has risen as he said. Now we have the responsibility to go and tell, to share this story, most precious. You see, Jesus, through this experience, wore another crown, and that was the crown of victory. Revelation 1:18 says, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Did you hear that? I'm the one who hung on the cross. See my hands? See my feet? I'm the one who prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am the one that they mocked. I'm the one that they spit upon. I'm the one who had my beard plucked. I'm the one that the two thieves railed on. I am the one that they shouted to be crucified. I am the one that they put to death on the cross. I'm the one who had the crown of thorns put on my head. I was dead. Jesus himself said, I was dead. If there's any doubt about it, Jesus said it. I was dead. Imagine people thinking that Jesus didn't really die, but that he passed out on the cross. Here he is placed in this tomb, and 3 days later, not being able to eat, suffering a terrible crucifixion, suffering the most inhumane kind of treatment possible, overcoming these armed guards. No way. Jesus died upon that cross, and he was dead in the tomb. I was dead, Jesus said, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And to prove it, I have the keys. I hold in my hand the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is the victor. What a savior. He wore the crown of victory over death. He was crowned with glory and honor. And Jesus lets us know that he has the keys of hell and death. He proves to us that he is the victor over death. O death, where is thy sting? It's only temporary. Jesus has already won the victory over death. And one of these days, there will be no more death. One of these days, all those who are dead in Christ will rise. And then those who are alive and remain will meet him in the air. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Why is it a comfort? Because Jesus has won the victory over death. He was crowned with glory and honor. The thing that we fear the most, death, we do not need to fear because Jesus is victor over it. He has the keys of hell and death. We don't need to fear. Someday the Bible tells us he will put all enemies under his feet. And even that last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But even now he is the resurrection and the life. He that believes in him shall never die. We pass from death to life. O death, where is thy sting? It's only temporary. Because Jesus holds the keys. He guarantees our resurrection. He is the first fruits. All that believe and trust in him will live forever. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? What is it that you fear? I want you to know that Jesus is Lord of it. Whatever it is that you fear, Jesus is Lord of it. So we have nothing to fear. because he's on our side. Is it death itself? He holds the keys. Whatever you fear, I want you to know that Jesus is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler. He wears the crown. He's the victor. You have nothing to fear tonight. I just invite you to the cross of Christ. See his love. See his forgiveness. Perfect love. The love of Christ will cast out all fear in your life. I noticed in one of the accounts that the women who came and saw, they believed, but they were afraid. And so they didn't tell anybody. I don't want you to fear man. Don't fear people. If you do, ask the Lord to help you overcome that fear. That you could do just what we are called to do as Christians. Just that those, as those ladies were called to come and see and then go and tell. Come and see. Go and tell. Father, tonight you know how many are struggling with different kinds of fears. Lord, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us to know that you are Lord of those fears. Help us to know that you walk on our fears. As the disciples feared the waves in the raging storm, you came out of nowhere, walked across that sea to their boat. You walked on the thing that they fear. Lord, help us to know that you walk on the things that we fear. Those fears have been put under your feet. You are Lord of them. You are Lord of all. Lord, help us to get a greater revelation tonight of your love and forgiveness, that our fears, undaunted though they may be cast away from us. And Lord, tonight, may none of us have this fear of man, that we are afraid to tell them the good news. But Lord, that we would come and once again see and hear this story most precious, but that also we would go and tell others of the good news. Jesus died for them. You died. You tasted death so we might live. Lord, we look forward to the day when you will wear all of these crowns. We look forward to the day when kings will surrender their crowns. We look forward to the day when we will put whatever crowns we might earn, whatever rewards we might gain, at your precious feet. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to sing that hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne."